sorry. Is this going to fall down if I pull it down? Hi, my name is Becky. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 24th of 2012, and this is my home group. I have a sponsor, and I'm available to sponsor others. I'll try to be as spiritual as I can tonight. So, Glenn, we're glad you're here. I grew up around here. I have a brother and a sister. I'm the youngest of three. My first drink, I think I remember it. I think I was at like a quinceañera, but nothing really earth-shattering, so I won't really tell you about it because it's boring. But I guess growing up, I was, I grew up in a pretty strict house, so, my dad was the military officer that forgot that he retired, so, you know, things were always pretty pretty harsh, and I totally have the perfectionist black and white attitude that I think a lot of us have here. When I was younger, I was involved in everything. I was totally a joiner, a people pleaser, and all those things that a lot of us are. So I think when I first started like drinking a lot, it was in high school. I'd been through the beginning, just doing like all kinds of activities, or there was some kind of class officer position or something to like brown nose to adults. Like I was usually leading it, and I think I was always just like a stressed out person, you know, because I felt like I had all this pressure on me. You know, my house growing up, like, we don't really have alcoholism in my family, but there's a lot of like mental illnesses that went unchecked, and we just didn't talk about it. It was like, if there's something wrong, you just suck it up and keep moving on. So everything was crazy, and we had to make sure that everything looked good on the outside. So that was kind of how I was used to reacting to things. And then I think my junior year in high school is when I started drinking, and I guess if I could like illustrate what drinking did for me in the beginning, you know, like when you pop a balloon, like you blow it up and then you pop it with a pin and it just like, it's like, I don't know, it snaps, it's a little disturbing, you know, it's really quick. Like that's how I dealt with my emotions. Like if anything went wrong, if I was sad, if I was angry, anything, I just like kept it all inside until eventually I would have a meltdown. You know, and I would scare people because I think, you all know me, like I'm generally a happy person. I like to smile and I like people, you know, so I'll be nice to someone, but then once something goes wrong, it's like I snap and it's like Jekyll and Hyde. Like nobody knew how to deal with me, you know. So when I started drinking, I remember it was almost like, this is going back to the illustration, obviously, but you know, if you put a piece of scotch tape over a balloon, when you go to pop it, it doesn't snap, you know, it just kind of like slowly releases the pressure. And that's what alcohol did for me, you know, it was like, I could relax a little bit, and it just felt good, you know, it felt normal. My first party, I don't know, that was stupid, I won't tell you about that, but, so when I started drinking, you know, it was like, I felt like I could relax, you know, again, I told you I was pretty straight edge for the first couple of years in high school, so even though, like, I had friends and I knew people, I felt like people couldn't relax around me, you know, like, I was always trying to act like everything was perfect, and so other people did that around me, too, and I noticed that when I was drinking and when I'm at these parties, like, I can relate to people, and they're talking to me about things, you know, and I'm like, I have real friends, you know, and it felt good, so I kept going back, you know. I remember, like, my high school is a little bit country, so a lot of times when we were drinking, it was out by bonfires or mud holes or something like that, and I remember, like, it was after one of the first, like, big parties, it was one of those, like, I had arrived moments. We were like, you know, we're wasted by a fire, and I wake up the next morning and I'm like in a nasty recliner with like another person, and then I look over and there's another guy in the other recliner, and he has no shirt on, and on his chest is written in permanent marker, get or do. So I think we tried to write get or done on his chest, but no one could finish it. So, you know, like, there's just all these, you know, I'm a mess. Like, I got, like, drool, I'm sweaty, you know, like, I smell like beer. And I was like, yes! Like, I love this. I want to do this all the time, you know? And so I kept going back, and I don't know. Things escalated pretty quickly with me. Like, by the time I think I was still 16, actually. I got pulled over first time for drinking and driving, and by the grace of God, I did not get a DUI. I had the cop that pulled me over was like, you look like a baby, like this is going to screw up your life, call your mom to pick you up and I won't arrest you. And I remember I was so pissed. I'm like, God, I'd rather go to jail than like deal with my parents at home, you know? And that was the truth, because like the whole summer after that, I had to like write down my mileage. My parents don't use technology, but they're so strict. So like I had to write down like when I went to the grocery store, you know, anywhere, whatever. So, I mean, it was almost worse than jail, but, so, you know, I got in trouble with for that or whatever, but this happened a lot with my drinking. Like, I would kind of get in trouble, but I'd get off the hook. Like, with adults, like, I would try to just charm them a little bit, and it worked a lot of times, so, I kind of flew under the radar. Like, in my senior year, I know the cops were called a few times, and my parents had to get me again, but, again, like, nothing really stuck. It was just kind of a slap on the wrist. So in my head, I almost liked it more, you know. I think I've shared this actually here before, but it was like once I got in trouble, I'm like, now I'm a bad girl, you know. Like, people can talk to me about stuff, you know. Like, I understand. Because before it was like I was the cheerleader and I was the class secretary and the homecoming and all that stupid stuff, you know. So now I'm like, now, like, I got street cred in school, you know, I'm okay. I'm good. So, you know, high school was more of that. And then, you know, when I hit college, I had kind of had it. I was like, I'm tired of trying to look like I'm perfect all the time. Because, of course, in my head, it wasn't my problem. It wasn't my ego that needed feeding. It was like, everyone else expects this of me. It's their fault, you know? So, I went to college. I'm like, I don't want anybody to know my name. Like, I don't want any of that, you know? I just want to party. Like, I just want to have real friends. It went south quick too. You know, I started like I was still getting in trouble in little ways with drinking, but I didn't have like my organizations and my, you know, like my leadership credits to kind of like back me up and get me out of trouble. So I'm like, oh, I got to do something. So I joined a sorority, and that worked out really well for my drinking. Not my dignity, but my drinking was really good. You know, it was just a lot. A lot of partying and life happens, late teens and early 20s, and we had the first friends that got in car accidents and were dying, and people getting into serious, like, overdose issues or other things like that, and nothing ever, like, scared me about it. I think I actually, instead of thinking, like, I kind of have to straighten my act up or, you know, something's going to happen, I was like, well, I guess if I'm going to die early, like, I got to get some stuff out of the way, you know? Like, I just got to do whatever I can do. Like, I'm probably going to get in a car accident and die, and so I just want to have fun until then, you know? Which is kind of sick thinking, and it took me coming here to AA to even, like, to realize that I had that thought, and I had already, like, kind of, I had made myself okay with it. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stories with college that I probably shouldn't tell you, especially because there's guys here. And I'll save it. But it's just a lot of things that I did that were not me. And I think I still had that ego that, like, everyone respects me because I work hard and I do all these things and I'm, you know, pillar of whatever community was in my head. You know, I'm like, I can act like a jackass and people will forgive me, you know. But college was when it started backfiring. It's like, no, like, people didn't forgive me. And I was doing things, a lot of times I was drinking, and even, you know, when I was sober, I was just acting selfish and acting like in a way that I had never been taught to act. I did it. And it was like all about me, you know. And when something went wrong with me, I just, like, I kept digging myself into holes. And, you know, at first, it started with drinking. I would make a mistake drinking. I would hook up with somebody's boyfriend, or I would just do something stupid, or, you know, get brought back to my sorority house by, I don't know. Again, I won't go into too many stories, but, you know, at first it started, and it was just when I was drunk, and I was like, well, that's when I was drunk, so, you know, you can't hold me responsible for that. But then eventually it was like I was doing those same things when I was sober. And it carried, like, my drunk life carried into my sober life. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't apologize enough, or I couldn't, like, backtrack enough. So eventually I just kind of sunk into it. You know, I'm like, well, this is me now. You know, like, I'm not a good person. I'm a selfish person. And you know, I don't show up for my family. I don't show up for my friends. And, And I always had excuses too. And for the longest time, even still in here, I'm like, my friends were flakes, you know, but like, you are who you hang out with. I was a flake. Like, I didn't know how to show up for anybody but myself or whoever had the most alcohol, you know? So there was a lot of stuff with that. I started working in college at some point for promotions companies, so that just, like, that fed my alcoholism even more, because now I had open bottles in my vehicle and I had a reason for it, you know, like, that was my excuse. I'm like, oh, I'm on my way to a promo, you know, even though I wasn't, and they would give us these bottles at promos, because I worked for, I don't know, it was like a bunch of different brands, but, so we'd show up at these clubs and we'd hand out free samples of stuff, and then, you know, it didn't take me very long to realize that, like, the less that I give out, the more is left over, and they don't ever ask for it back. So, you know, like, eventually I'm like, little bit for you, more left in the bottle for me, you know? And gosh, it was just, I don't know, I got into trouble doing that, too. But I think that's why, like, especially when people talk about coming in here and, like, losing jobs or, you know, like, losing face in front of people, like, I didn't experience that as much because everyone was drunks, and it didn't matter. Like, I had my first experience, like, or my first sight, I guess, of AA when I was doing a promo one time, and this is another reason why I was kind of sketchy on it when I first had to come in, because I remember I was doing a Dewar's promotion, and I'm, like, trying to give out all these samples of whiskey, and they're, like, or scotch or whatever, and they were, you know, there were these people coming in, and they wouldn't take my shots, but they're, like, walking in the store and just, like, looking at everything, you know, and they're, like, touching bottles and just saying random stuff, you know, so I asked the store manager, I'm like, who are these people, you know, like, why don't they take my samples? She's like, oh, honey, they're on their way to the AA meeting, you know, they can't take it, but they'll be back. I'm like, what? You know, like, I don't know, that was just my first experience with hearing people, so I don't know, I didn't ask any more questions. It was really weird. But yeah, so, you know, throughout college or whatever, I still managed to stay out of, like, legal trouble. And I was still always, like, focusing so much on like, showing face in front of other people and being that perfectionist. So, you know, I was, like, one of my friends to get a job, like, get a career job. So, you know, in my head, I still had people looking up to me. But at that point, I was drinking a lot more and, you know, like, drinking during the day and kind of, like, drinking to get through the day. And then personal relationships that... you know, I thought that they were still okay, but, you know, what I realize now looking back is that all my close friends that I had since I was, like, probably 6 years old, 10 years old, all the long ones, like, they were gone, you know? Like, they at first started partying with me, and then eventually it's like, I don't want to go out and drink with you because you just pulled a 360 on the road, and then you just drove like nothing was wrong, like you're going to kill me, you know? Like that, and they were nice about it, you know? They were just like, no, I'm really busy for like months at a time. Like, and I was wondering, like, why is everyone flaking? Like, you're supposed to be my best friend. But like, I was acting like an idiot, you know? And I was around sketchy, sketchy people that could just... It's not even hard to get alcohol. I was 21 at the time. It's not like I was doing a bunch of drugs, so I had to be around sketchy people, but I don't know. People just didn't make me feel bad about how I was drinking, you know? And, I don't know. So, it was a lot of fun, though. I think there were a lot of bad times and low points, but I just kind of, the next morning, I didn't ever associate it with alcohol. It was just kind of like, well, this is the person I am now. Like, I'm damaged goods, like... I'm a piece of crap, you know, whatever, let's keep moving, drinking still makes things fun, you know, and drinking was my solution for everything. Like, it was like, when something was bad, I wanted to drink, but when something was mildly good, I'm like, let's make it better with drinking, you know, like, if anything went wrong. I remember, like, there was one day where I was driving back from Miami, and I had lunch up at the Brick House here on Dale Mabry with some friends, and I don't know where I had parked my car in Miami, but like something, there were like bugs that started coming out of my car when I left Brick House. I'm like, God, I can't drive this thing, you know? So instead of like calling someone to pick me up or like seeing how to fix it, I just like walked up to the ABC or whatever the liquor store is right there, right by Target. I like walked there. Picked up a bottle of wine, walked over to the Nordstrom rack, bought a tumbler, and, like, walked into Target and just walked around Target, like, drinking out of this bottle of wine. Like, just stupid stuff, you know? I'm like, yeah, this makes it better, you know? And, and my car didn't get fixed that way, you know. But then it was fun, so I don't know. It was just a lot more of that. But you know, eventually I'd gotten to the point where I was working and drinking way too much. I was depressed, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I got myself into relationships with guys that I never should have been in, and I stayed for way too long. And then one of them ended up, I don't know, I ended up getting in trouble one night, and after a long night at the casino, I ended up with, you know, I got arrested, and I had a felony drug charge for stuff that I had in my purse. And I don't know. I was so mad. I was more resentful because this is the first time that I had gotten in trouble, and I didn't just get a slap on the wrist. And you know, I realized like, okay, this is a big deal, you know. And still, it didn't sink in like automatically. But like, shit, I got a felony. Like, what am I? No one's gonna believe this. Oh my gosh, you know. And of course, I'm calling people from jail and. I'm so offended because every person that I got a hold of, they're like, you got a DUI, didn't you? And I'm like, how dare you think that I would get a DUI? Like, what? You know, because in my head, I'm like, I drank during the day when I drove, so, like, cops aren't out for DUIs during the day, you know? Like, why would you think that I would get that, you know? So, you know, I had to tell them, like, no, I got all this other stuff going on. And, you know, and then after I got arrested, I hired an attorney that I had met on the VIP level of Club Piranha, so I should have known that that was a disaster, but it was a disaster. Like, he sucked, but that was my attorney, and I don't know. It was, so, you know, I'm still thinking, because everyone, like, that was around me, I had hid so much of my drinking from my friends. Like, we would go out, and I would get, like, blacked out sometimes, but a lot of times my drinking was, I didn't black out every time. You know, a lot of times it was just being around friends and constantly drinking, and sometimes it was around friends, and they thought it was tea, and they didn't know I was drinking, like, or at least, I don't know, they probably did. You can smell it, you know, like, I always thought I was hiding it. Like, even in college, I would take shots at my internship, and then when my internship coordinator would show up, I would try to, like, breathe in as I was talking so she wouldn't be able to smell it, and I swore that, like, she couldn't smell it, but, I mean, who knows if they ever knew, but yeah, so, I don't even know where I was going with that, but anyways, so, I ended up, like, having to go into DACO, because my attorney, you know, couldn't get me out of anything, so I went to DACO, and, you know, and then they told me that, like, when I went in, that I wasn't going to be able to drink, and, I was just pissed. I'm like, how dare you tell me I can't drink? Like, I have a real job, and I drink wine. Like, and I do promotions. Like, I'm a wine connoisseur. Like, I know about, like, old dirt wine and New World wine and whatever. Like, that's, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. Like, that's my job, you know? And so I was just pissed, like, in the beginning, you know? I had to come from work, and I still, like, I've never been able to be very open with people from the jump off. So, you know, at that point, I hadn't even told some of my immediate family members about it. I only told a few of my friends, and definitely hadn't told my job. So, you know, I'm like, I'm just freaking out, and I kept everything in. I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with this? I was always trying to, like, handle everything on my own and control everything. But you know, eventually, when I was at DACO, I had, like, that got crushed really quick. You know, like, I had to tell my boss, I had to tell my family, and I just, you know, I couldn't deal with it, like, people being disappointed in me. Like, it killed me so much. But, you know, that was the start of the shattering of that. Thank you. So I get to DACO, and they're telling me that I have to do, like, 3 meetings a week of AA or NA. And, like, the first thought is, like, what I told you guys about what I thought of alcoholics. I'm like, what the hell? What is that going to help me? Like, people that go in and rub bottles before they go into a meeting and come out? Like, how is that going to help me right now, you know? So I didn't want to go, and you know, I showed up. The first meeting I went to was actually an NA meeting over at the meeting place, and it was so cool, you know, because I walked in late or whatever, and the woman that was sitting right by the door, she just stood up and hugged me right when I got there, and I thought, I'm like, oh man, it's so nice that they do that here. Like, every time somebody comes in, you know, I like hugs. I like coming to these places. Like, this is cool, you know. And it's cool now, because I think it was one of those little God moments for me, you know, because we don't do that to everybody that comes in. And she just looked at me, and she just probably knew that I was this little broken spirit just trying to hold it together. But yeah, I didn't do 90 meetings in 90 days. I thought it was crap that I had to go to 3 meetings a week. Like, that, there was no chance. And not that I recommend this, but like, I waited to get a sponsor. I actually wouldn't have asked, like, my first sponsor asked me if she wanted me, like, me or wanted her to be my sponsor. And I just said yes. So, I mean, I don't know. If I could say anything, it's just proof that, you know, you don't have to do the program perfectly for the program to work. And again, I don't recommend that, but, I mean, that's just my experience. But I slowly started coming to meetings, and when she would talk to me, I was still convinced that I wasn't an alcoholic because, you know, I'm like, I'm fine. Like, I have a lot of other things together. And when I first came in, and a lot of people share stories about, like, you know, going through rehab and going through detox and getting fired from jobs and being homeless and all that stuff. I'm like, I haven't had that, you know, so I'm not an alcoholic. And that's another thing that's kind of taken me a while to really, like, be okay with in this program is that, like, you know, it doesn't matter what you've been through or what you haven't been through. Like, don't ever think that you are not qualified to be here, you know, because it's really, like, the emotions and the way that alcohol makes us feel and how we respond to it. Like, that's kind of, like, what brings us together. So the outside forces really don't matter. And a lot of it, too, you know, I remember in one of the first meetings I heard Melanie sharing and a lot of her stories from her early 20s. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my life right now, you know. And she kept going. I'm like, if I keep going, like, I think I know what's going to happen to me, you know. And so I just kind of slowly started coming around and listening. But I didn't jump right into the steps. I think I sat on the first step for, like, a few months. You know, my sponsor was telling me stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not an alcoholic. Because she's like, well, if you can have one or two drinks, you know, then maybe you're not. So I kind of, like, that was, like, my challenge, like, right when I heard her say that. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have one or two drinks. Like, my sister's wedding is coming up. I can't not drink at a wedding. Like, I get down on the dance floor, you know? Like, I need a glass of wine or something, like, with me. So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a drink at the wedding. I'm going to have, like, one drink and one shot, and then I'm going to call her the next day and just tell her, thank you so much. Like, I think you're so great, but I'm not an alcoholic, you know? So that was my plan, and I did it, you know, at the wedding. I had, like, I don't know, a few glasses of wine and a shot, and I'm like, yes, like, I'm good, you know? But it was, like, my main focus the entire night, when really I should have been present for my sister getting married. It's, like, the biggest day of her life, but I'm, like, focused on, like, okay, don't take that big of a sip. Okay, now, like, what time is it? You know, like, just stupid stuff, you know? So, anyway, I call my sponsor. I'm like, yeah, I just had a couple drinks, so it turns out I'm not an alcoholic, so thank you. I really appreciate you. I think you're an awesome girl. You know, like, thank you. And she was like, you know, she told me we could still be friends, of course, you know, whatever. And I don't know, but something in me just told me, like, you're bullshitting. Like, you're bullshitting everybody and yourself, you know? And she told me, she's like, well, you kind of have to keep coming back anyways because you're on probation and you get drug tested pretty often. And, like, I don't know, like, you got to come anyways. So, you know, we'll still see you around or whatever. And I don't know. So, I kept coming to meetings. And for me, like, it wasn't exactly like a burning bush moment like some people have with sobriety, but it was, like, over time. Like, I had to keep coming back to meetings, and I'm so glad that I did, because it was, like, every meeting I went to, I heard one little thing that was like, oh, yeah, I feel that way. Oh, yeah, like, I don't know. Things just clicked for me. I guess, you know, the God issue for me, I had never not believed in God. I was raised kind of in and out of churches. I don't know, I went to a Lutheran church and stuff. But, again, like, my family had a lot of problems and didn't talk about it and always, like, went to church. So for me, it almost seemed, like, a little bit fake, I guess. Like, there wasn't an individual connection there with me and a higher power. It was just kind of like, I show up, I say the Nicene Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and, like, we're good to go, you know? So, you know, I come into AA, and then there's this idea of, like, finding your own God. And you know, I really looked into that and found out, like, what I would want in a God. And it just turns out that that is the Christian God that I've always kind of, like, heard of, but I just never really knew, you know? So that's one of the biggest gifts I've gotten from AA is, like, the personal relationship with my higher power. And it's in a way that was never explained to me before. And this is coming from someone that did a lot of, like, classes and church and things. Like, it never hit me like it did in AA. I loved that part about it. And it was, like, once I really did surrender and started praying, like, not just saying that I pray, but actually sitting down and praying, like, things started happening for me. Like, I started feeling better. And sometimes it was just waking up in the morning and wanting to get out of bed, you know? And you know, like I have a lot of relationship problems with my dad, and you know, we couldn't talk, and we didn't talk for a while, but now even that like is a restored relationship, and it's something that I never ever thought I would be able to forgive or move on from. I never thought that I would be able to see him calling on the phone and not feel like a panic attack coming on, you know? And today, like we go shooting like every other week and we talk on the phone, and sometimes he calls me 3 times a day, but I don't get angry, you know, like it's all right, you know? And yeah, there's just so much growth that's come from it. I think like, you know, doing the fourth and fifth step was awful the first time, because for me, you know, I'd always tried to like bury things down a lot, and so to finally let it out, it was like just word vomit. Like all this stuff came up. My poor first sponsor, there was like 100 people on my resentment list, and it was just, it was the like dumb things too. But you know, we got through it, and I grew through that, and you know, and then when 6 and 7 came, like really praying and asking God to remove the character defects, like he did, and he, you know, it's not permanent. I still have to pray for it all the time because they come back just as soon as they went away, but I felt like real progress, you know. I went to make amends, and some of them turned out really well, but some of them didn't. I had a girl message me back and tell me, like, thanks for reaching out. I sincerely hope you've become a better person. And I got what was written in between those lines. And then I had, you know, someone respond with really nasty stuff that I won't say. But, you know, the cool thing about that was it doesn't matter what they said about me trying to apologize. Like, that came from my heart, and, like, my God knows my heart, and that, like, I hate what I did, and I can't take it back, you know? But I also feel the growth, and I feel the love from my God, because I didn't beat myself up about it. You know, I prayed about it, and I was upset, but the next morning I woke up, and I was okay. Like, I don't need to please everybody to be worthy, you know? And that was a really cool thing that I've learned here. You know, I've seen a lot of cool things sober that I never thought I'd be able to go through. Weddings, again, like I told you, I love to dance, and I love to be on the dance floor with a drink. You know, so like all these big life goings on, I never thought I'd be able to do sober. And there have been a lot of them for me recently, and I've been able to be there. You know, my best friend that I partied with the most in college, she got married a couple months ago, and we went to Vegas for her bachelorette party. And this is another God moment. It's like, I was scared to death to go to Vegas because I knew what was coming, and I, you know, I knew what could be there. And it just so happened that a huge group from this home group and my new sponsor were going to be there at the very same time, like right down the road, you know. And these two girls right here, they met me up when I was struggling the first night, and we talked about it. And I'm going to get emotional because I'm really, you know, it's just, to me, it's so cool that that like I can go through these things and it's okay and it's not going to break me, and like all the things I thought I would lose in life from sobriety, like I didn't lose it at all. Like all those experiences are amplified because I'm present for them, you know, and I can get out of my selfish self, and I can talk to people about the same things who understand where I'm coming from, and they get me through it, you know. So you know, I love all the girls that I met in here, and again, it's like, it's just so good because sobriety has given me the gift that, like, I know I'm not damaged goods anymore. And, like, I really have, you know, like, I improve every day. I realize things I need to work on every day. But, like, every day is good, you know? Like, I'm happy, and there's a lot of good people in my life, and there's a lot of good things in my life. And I know that if I think about, like, not drinking for years to come, it still freaks me out. So I still have to do that one day at a time, you know, because I'm like, I don't know. It's a big thing. But life is good now, you know. I'm, like, starting to help other people and sponsor other people, and I'm scared to death to do that too. But it's learning, you know, and just realizing too that, like, it's not about me anyways. Like, it's about just trying to help somebody else, and getting out of my egotistical brain is a cool thing. So, again, I'm feeling a little bit more spiritual, Gwen. I'm not mad at you anymore. So, I think I'll end with that. I don't know. Just thank you so much, especially to this group for my sobriety, because this was the first group that really helped it hit home for me. And I got so many good relationships out of this, and I really see God speak through so many people in this meeting. So thank you for being here, and thank you for my sobriety.